State's Health and Gut Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, if you're into summer gardening, you know that you often grow far more than you can consume at the moment of ripeness. And nothing is more refreshing and uplifting than opening a jar of homegrown fruits or vegetables in the middle of December. I hope you can get that picture. So how can you preserve your lovely crop and enjoy it all year long? Well, joining us this morning to help us understand how to do it and the benefits of it are Nancy Fassold, retired newspaper journalist and the creator of an event that's coming up called I Can 2012. It's a one-day workshop in home food preservation. Welcome, Nancy. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting me, Linda.
So I've already alluded to some of the joys of canning, but in your estimation or in your sense, why would you want to can? Why can?
Why can? Great question. Two reasons, simple reasons. One, it helps you set a healthier table. Bottom line, a much healthier table for your family, for your friends if you're entertaining. Two, it helps you set a tastier table, a much tastier table. In fact, over the winter, I was reading a book in which the one main character said to the other main character, I want you to make a peach pie for me. And the other character said, it's not the time of year to make a peach pie. It's the middle of winter. And so the first person said, well, there are peaches in the grocery store. You can make a peach pie at canned peaches on the shelf, peaches, fresh peaches from south of the border. And the other character said, but you know, it's not the time of year to make a peach pie. The best peaches, the sweetest peaches, the juiciest peaches come from our own backyard in the season. So if you can those peaches from Central New York soil, it's going to be sweeter, it's going to be juicier, it's going to be more delicious.
It's interesting because, you know, there's a real movement afoot of late, probably in the last 5 years, to do local, emphasis, because we always talk about we don't know where our food is coming from much of the time, what part of the world or even what part of the country. And this whole idea of, you know, having things that are organic or local, but local is a big, big push, and seasonal.
Yes, local, seasonal, and personal. You can look at a can of processed green beans, and there's stuff in there you don't want to eat. I don't want to eat. But if you process those green beans yourself, whether you freeze them or dehydrate them or can them, you know exactly what's in there. So that leads me to another, right after I read this wonderful book, I had the pleasure of joining with a couple of young moms. Actually, it was a group of young moms in just a conversation. They were concerned, actually horrified. They had just heard I think they had been watching the Dr. Oz show, that the orange juice they had served up to their children might contain arsenic. This really bothered them. They were very upset. And so I just asked them, well, why don't you can your own? Why don't you make your own apple juice? We have some of the best apples in the country right here in Central New York. And they said to me, well, we don't know how. And I realized that the art of home food preservation is something that mothers have passed down to daughters, grandmothers to mothers to daughters for generations. But our generation went back to work. Our generation got very, very busy. We kind of missed that gift. It stopped being handed down. So that's why it's important right now to refocus yourself on getting the local food on your table, knowing what's in that can so that there's no chemicals in there that you don't want in your kids' bellies, and you can do it yourself.
It's an incredible goal. I mean, it's a wonderful goal. And I have to admit that when my children were young, there was a time when I was at home before I went back to work full time that I tried some of these, you know, attempts at home food preservation. And I have to say tried with a, you know, kind of quotation marks around it, because I didn't have a great deal of success. One problem I really had was I had a stove that just was one of those electric like a glass heating top stove, one of the new Corningware stoves that didn't heat. And you cannot boil a huge pot of water in order to can without a really strong flame. So that put a kibosh on it right away. But one point I'd like to make here is also that it strikes me that even if you don't grow your own food, if you are, you know, frequenting farmers markets locally and you can buy produce locally, you still have the opportunity to then do just what you're saying, provide canned food all year long for your family and your friends.
Absolutely. We have some wonderful farmers markets here in Central New York. And the movement that you were alluding to earlier is the farm-to-table market. And that's generally been focused on the farm to the restaurants so that the restaurants can start serving a healthier plate. And I'd like to see that broadened to the, from the farm to the family table. One problem that I have seen in my own family, there's just two of us. And so buying a bushel of tomatoes and spending my day putting up 16 quarts of tomatoes is kind of not really a great idea. I don't know that my husband and I are going to eat 16 quarts of tomatoes over the course of a winter. Because, of course, when the Central New York tomato becomes available again, that's what we're going to eat, the fresh tomato. There's a concept called small batch canning, and we are really privileged to have a woman who has just written a book called Food in Jars, which focuses on small batch canning, as one of our teachers for this all-day canning home food preservation experience that I'm involved with, to show us how we don't have to buy a bushel of tomatoes. We can buy a couple pounds and spend just a couple hours putting this fruit up so that we can use it in the winter. We can get a variety of things on our shelf for just a small family, even single people. Another national concept that's growing is having, I call them canning clatches. I think that's a little bit of an old word, but
yeah.
But
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, girlfriends getting together on a Saturday at one of their houses and putting up that bushel of tomatoes that they've bought together, that way they can then each take four quarts home. What a great girlfriend time in the
it's
kitchen.
It's like a canning bee.
Yeah, a canning bee. Absolutely.
Well, before you go further, let me just, let's clarify a little bit. We have canning, and we're talking
yes.
canning, and,
yes.
and that's the name of your event, mm-hmm. I Can. But there are other ways of food preservation that you alluded to. Do
yes.
you think those also are very valuable, and can you just help us understand what they are?
Absolutely. In fact, one of them, freezing, is what I do mostly these days because I'm a smaller family and I have one of those glass-top stoves
you
mentioned that will be destroyed. It'll either be destroyed by your pressure cooker or the pressure cooker will be destroyed. So, and your food certainly will be unhealthy if you try to use it. So I do mostly freezing. And there's also dehydration, which has become quite I don't want to say trendy thing, but a lot of people have gotten involved and are interested in dehydrating food. It takes up less space,
and then
storage space.
To eat it, is it necessary to rehydrate then?
A lot of the food, yes, but some of it can be, you know, crunched on.
I see.
To
mm-hmm.
get some of that crunchy feeling, which mm-hmm. is another goal of mine to put a healthier table is to get rid of the processed foods that we're bringing into our home.
The snack type stuff. With all the extra chemicals.
Absolutely.
We've had people on the show in the past that have talked about, and actually I think this is, I've seen this written up as well, that if you have more than five ingredients on a label, don't buy it.
Well, I like this one.
I mean, in a product.
Yeah. If it comes from a plant, eat it. If it's made in a plant, don't eat it.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. I'm going to have to remember. I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah.
So you were starting to say, so tell us a little bit more about the event.
Mm-hmm.
It's an all-day event.
It's an all-day event. It starts at 8:30 in the morning.
Where will it be?
At Liverpool Community Church. We have rented the whole building for the day. It's at 408th Street in Liverpool. And we have four fabulous teachers. I'm just so honored to have been able to encourage that these people have agreed to come on board. Two master home food preservers from Cornell Cooperative Extension. These two women are the people who teach the teachers through the Cornell Cooperative
wow.
Extension how to get involved in home food preservation. They're the ones who understand the science behind the project. And with home food preservation, one of the most important things to realize is there is a little bit of chemistry, and not chemistry, science involved here.
Yeah, physics, chemistry,
physics,
yeah.
Some microorganisms that you want to get rid of.
Right.
And these are the folks who are coming on board to help us deal with that. I also have Marissa McClellan, who is the cookbook author from Philadelphia. Her cookbook, Food in Jars, was just published in May by the Perseus Group. So very excited that she's coming here. She's also doing a special hands-on cooking class the night before for
wow.
people who'd be interested in making spicy nectarine jam.
Wow.
We also have, and I'm very happy to say that we have Christina Rode, who is a family and consumer science teacher from the Baldwinsville School District. She'll be showing us all about herbs, how to have fun and harvest herbs. And herbs are one of those things I frequently grab fresh fistfuls of herbs in the grocery store only to find them wilted in my refrigerator or they got ice crystals in my freezer. So I'm very excited about learning how to tend to my herbs better.
You know, it's interesting because it strikes me that there all of these things, there probably are just a handful in many cases of tips that if you really understood them, you could really go, you know, go miles.
Yes.
In terms of freezing yes. better, in terms of canning. Canning, though, I think is daunting to a lot of
yes.
people for all
yes.
the reasons you mentioned.
Yeah, there's a lot of magic in it, though, that it, once you understand, it's a piece of cake.
Really?
Once you understand that pressure canner, it looks like R2-D2. It
yeah.
really is a scary thing. But once you understand how it works, it's just very easy. In fact, it's that set it and forget it concept because it takes so many hours for the pressure canner to work that, okay, once you get it going, you just kind of forget it.
But in that case, you really do need equipment.
Yes.
What I mean is
yes.
you're alluding to a pressure canner
yes.
or a dehydrating machine.
Yes.
So you'd have to make an investment in those things. But I remember
yes.
years back that you could just kind of get a big, maybe you'd have to get a big, you know, a big pan to put on the stove, a big kettle to put on the stove, and then you'd have to have something to hold the jars in and a top, and
mm-hmm.
then you just have to wait till the little ball lid would kind of pop down so you'd know that it was sealed properly.
Now, there are two ways to can, to actually put food in jars and then preserve them. One is the boiling water.
Right.
Canning, which
that was
is
my method.
Your method.
That I never quite accomplished.
And that's for high acid foods,
oh.
your fruits, your tomatoes. That's because there's enough acid in that food that it can kill off the yucky things that could cause disasters. The other method with the pressure canner is for just about everything else because you need to heat your food up to a high enough temperature to kill the yucky things in there that you don't want to serve your family.
So you really do need some. You need to make some investment in equipment to really
yes.
do this well.
Yes, it could cost you up front probably $100 to get started, depending on the equipment you choose. For instance, Amazon, I just saw this was really cute, has a porcelain steel water bath canner on sale for $18. And it's
wow.
the same kind that I've always used. It's that blue porcelain with the white dots all over it, and it has the screen that goes inside to put your jars in and the nice lid. But you can also spend over $100 on stainless steel water bath, or it's called boiling water canners
mm-hmm.
these days.
Mm-hmm.
You can really spend a lot. For your pressure cookers, though, it's $70 to $80.
Well, you know, you obviously will save much more, and the joy of doing your own food and knowing your food is preservative-free, so to speak, and healthy is going to go miles for that. So I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing these ideas with us, and the fact that we can 2012,
yes,
which
yes, yes.
We're going to have a link on our website.
Thank
so if
you.
Anyone wants to participate, they can certainly find out much more about it. And once again, thanks so much for coming in. My guest has been Nancy Fasolt. She's a retired newspaper journalist and the creator of I Can 2012, a one-day workshop in home food preservation. Well, as I said, we'll have a link on our website. I'm Linda Cohen. We'll be right back right after this short break.